Hello, what you are about to hear is a podcast. And what that means is we're going to talk into microphones and then broadcast it on pods, in your iPods. You're going to hear this on your iPod. And so I just wanted to give you an intro in case you were confused as to what was happening.
Sometimes we'll say pretty silly stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not, we're not being wrong. We're doing a joke to make you laugh.
Also, I wanted to say to my grandpa Dan, who I asked to listen to this one, well, I'm glad that you figured, I knew you could do it.
Yeah.
I knew you could do it, G-Pa Dan. I knew you could listen to a podcast.
Downloaded it through Napster, and now you're listening to it. And listen,
thank
folks.
You for pirating our podcast, Grandpa Dan.
Just a little prologue. You're going to hear us make some pretty obscure references, and you're going to think, oh, I don't get this because I'm not a regular listener. But the truth is, you don't get it because you're not one of the three of us, and sometimes not even then.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Sometimes the things we say just isn't funny.
No,
yeah.
Listen.
And it's nothing.
We'll be interrupting the show throughout to try to give you some context, but we think you're set up now. What you're going to hear next is the introduction. Now, in My Brother and Me, this is our show that we do.
Yeah.
That's where we normally do like sort of a slice of life, skewed view.
Yeah.
Twisted perspective on the current events.
Sometimes we talk about movies for like a really long time, and it's unclear even to us if we're actually excited about them or not.
And sometimes when we struggle to think of something funny to say, we just cuss a lot. So yeah, please be prepared for that.
That's kind of throughout though. That's not just an introduction thing.
Yeah.
We're gonna begin now. Okay. But don't, if you get scared at any point, please tell one of us.
Yeah.
And we will stop the show.
Just raise your hand.
Yeah. It's an interactive experience. Okay. Here we go. You ready?
The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better with you. My life, it's better with you. This is true, it's better with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, no, wait, son. No, Justin.
Quieter. No, why is it quiet? They can like hot. Just because they're new doesn't mean they don't like it fucking hot.
Oh, that's, you know, true. What I mean? Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and well. Wait, this is the music we always play. Okay. Hello, everybody. It was too annoying.
So
I couldn't even
short.
Do more than this.
Every episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy. I've always said modern like that.
Yeah. And then I'm going to say middleist, which isn't a real word as far as I know, but I am the most middle, right? And I'm also going to say like a big dog woof woof, and that's because every year we brand the year, and this is 20 big dog run. What does that mean, you ask? I don't know. And I'm your middleist brother, Travis Big Dog Woof Woof McElroy.
What's up, shit stains?
Whoa,
no, wait,
now, hold on. Never,
Griffin has never brought this energy before.
No, I think Griffin's trying to rebrand. Okay.
That's sort of how I come into the beginning of it. Every episode is very complicated.
Don't lie to them. They don't know the joke.
That is never, you've never done
it
before.
Is it the voice? Do you think, is it the voice?
You called them shit stains, Griffin.
Hold on, let me try again. What's up, skid marks?
No, well, that's, I mean, better. That's noticeably better.
It's better.
Not
more
quite.
It feels more affectionate. It has an affectionate energy.
What's up, droopy drawers? It's
Griffin. I think that's
McElroy,
better.
The youngest one.
Now, but Griffin, you're usually kind of the sweet one, and I'm kind of the bad boy in the group. And I need you to bring some more like sweet energy, so people know that like you're the safe one.
What's right? up, like shit stains?
Okay, so that just to get some questions out of the way for new listeners, this is the Max Fun Block Party, which is where we're trying to onboard new people. Say welcome in.
It's right,
and this show actually doesn't lean on people accuse us of doing a lot of in jokes. I try to avoid that, actually, hilariously. I try to avoid that in this show. It just is a lot of non sequiturs a lot of times.
Yeah, it feels like in jokes that you assume, like, oh, people have listened before, understand what they're talking about. But as I said earlier, no.
No. But we're trying to make, here's the setup, right? We're actual ass brothers.
Yeah,
like ass real brothers.
Yeah.
Not a joke. We're the McElroys. We grew up together. Our dad's Clint. We do the Adventure Zone together. And we have done since April 2010, we've done an advice program that you are now listening to and enjoying, we hope. I mean, right now. So we've been doing it for a long time. This is our 580th episode. And the show has evolved, but not as much as, like, you would think, right?
Sure.
It's not like, you know, General Hospital, where 11 years later it would be unrecognizable. This is still basically the
same thing. It's the same shtick, but we're a lot tireder.
That's true. Time. We're older now. We've got kids, and God knows how many at this point. And I also know...
We have six kids, two each. You can't do this.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
This is our first introduction. We have two kids.
We have two kids each. Six.
We share two kids.
We have two kids. It's a timeshare program. We went in together to buy the kids. We each get four months. And I know what you're wondering. I've been listening now to the show for a while, and they haven't given any advice yet. Hey, but get used to that.
That doesn't
because not as much advice these days.
We're not qualified in any way. And we've also, at this point, as we said, 581 episodes in, basically answered every problem the world has. There's nothing new under the sun.
It's just no one listens is the problem.
Yeah, you know what I mean? No one listens. Well, it's because Bob Ball back there in the beginning is like, don't listen to the brothers.
Sure,
and it's like, God damn it, Bob Ball.
So I know you're wondering, if this is a block party, where's the snacks?
Where are the snacks?
The answer is you got to download them.
Yeah.
We are uploading pictures of some amazing snacks.
I made a Jell-O mold.
Yeah, Travis did a Jell-O mold. I got some pimento pasta salad.
Ooh.
And that's going to be a beautiful JPEG. And you're going to really taste the highlights and shadows and colors on that one. So enjoy that. We got some bands coming out. What's Up Blues Traveler. Coming out on the stage at 7 p.m.
It's Blues Traveler, but without John Popper, because he kind of sucks.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's a harmonica free Blues Traveler experience.
It's just kind of an acoustic, non harmonica Blues Traveler. Yeah, sure.
Wouldn't it be rad if the Blues Traveler guy one time forgot his harmonicas? Like, he left his harmonica vest in his trunk with all his guns. And when the concert started, that's when he realized and he had to make harmonica noises in his mouth and see if anybody noticed.
Hey, does anybody have any, like, wax paper I can put on the comb? Anybody? Damn it. I went to Juilliard. just to kind of start.
Do you know where Dracula's studying music?
Where?
Juilliard.
Oh, God.
So this
why would it be Dracula and not a ghost?
I will
Dracula
say this.
Doesn't say fucking boo.
The past 7 minutes of recording that we have done have been, not a joke, pretty good cross-section of the experience we provide here.
Well, I thought this would be a good opportunity for people at home to maybe get to know us on a deeper level. And Colin sent this in, and this is just kind of a getting to know you icebreaker question. The original question here on some kind of web forum was, what would be the worst torture to you? And a woman named Laura answered, you make me live in a cabin in the mountains in winter, and every Saturday I would have to host a garage sale. And you... And you would not give me any frozen or fresh vegetables or fruits to eat. That is the worst torture Laura can imagine. So I wanted to posit to us, what is the worst torture we can imagine?
I'm not going to go with anything better than Laura Williams May, who, by the way, put on in her bio, Laura Williams May, comma, I offer alternative explanations and viewpoints.
Indeed.
Which, good on
you. And you can tell that because Laura has offered almost 13,000 answers to questions on whatever website this is.
And they're almost all about how little she wants to be in a cabin in the mountains in winter and host a garage sale every Saturday.
Are these, do you think that these are three, like, stacking tortures or end of it, like, you have to live in a cabin? Oh, man, this sucks. Well, I think I could get used to this. Well, guess what? Shit. This Saturday, you have to host a garage sale. Oh, man. Well, it's every Saturday. God damn it. Well, at least give me some fresh or frozen vegetables or fruits to eat while I'm hosting the garage sale. Wait, why are you laughing?
I like that Laura has now, that's all the vegetables and fruits, Laura. Frozen or fresh, right? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess dried.
Canned.
That's a different
canned
kind.
Yeah.
Would pickled.
Mushed.
She only likes them frozen or fresh.
Yeah, that's her deal, man. It's one of the two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Okay, so right. So here's what we do. We take questions from listeners. We answer them to the best of our ability. We're going to try to get through more than usual, which is to say more than one.
Okay.
Or maybe two.
Let's do it.
During lunch, I accidentally dropped a few black beans and they rolled. By the way, I feel like we never say this, but if you have a question, you can send it to MBMBAM. I know what you're thinking. Wow. A very bad nickname for a podcast.
Yep.
And yes, you are not wrong. MBMBAM@MaximumFun.org. Hey, another thing real quick.
Oh.
Speaking of the bad name of our podcast, a listener pointed out on the YouTube comments, because I was watching our theme song by Montaigne, because my kids love it. They pointed out that My Brother and Me fits exactly with the cadence of the chorus.
My brother and me. Yeah, that's fun. That's good stuff. It's really good.
Anyway, okay, so I accidentally dropped a few black beans and they rolled under my cubicle into my coworkers that sit straight across from me. This is already a nightmare.
For listeners at home, you might be confused. This didn't happen to Justin. Justin is reading a question from a listener, and it's written in first person, but Justin is merely the conduit.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll just launch right into him, and you think I'm talking about myself, and then at the end, I'm like, doofus in Dakota or whatever.
Because you know Justin loves beans.
Right. Longtime listeners will remember that Justin exclusively did eat beans for several years, I could understand the confusion there.
I used to be a bean boy.
I know.
Now I'm not anymore.
No, now you're a bean man.
Too dense. I have never met them. I think they vacuum here on the weekends, but this happened on Monday. And by then, they will be moldy and maybe smell.
Mm.
Should I go pick up the beans when they are away and risk being caught in the act and having to explain? Should I just leave them be? There's no way to make this joke land.
Just leave them be.
In an audible sort of format, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, we'll do the jokes around here. Thanks.
Okay.
That's from Being There, Smelled That in Minnesota.
I love, by the way, that in this question, at no point is go over there while they're there and explain an option provided.
Hey, bro, Cephas, I dropped some bean beans over here. Gonna clear you out. One sec.
But here's the thing. If you're caught over there and then you say, I'm over here because I dropped some beans and they rolled under your cubicle, that is the most fishy explanation I've ever heard.
That's a weird one. They're definitely gonna think you've accidentally dropped your stash, like in Rent, and now they are on the case. Here's what I'm going to say.
But if you go over there and say, like, I dropped some beans and they rolled under, sorry about that. That's so wild that there's no way they're going to think you're lying, right?
That's a good point.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's just a couple beans.
That's what fucking beans. Jack and the Beanstalk thought, Griffin. Just a couple beans. And then pretty soon, a giant falls and levels half the city.
But Jack didn't roll the beans accidentally. Like, Jack's mom was like, get these fucking beans out of here, yeet! And then a big beanstalk came out, and then we all know the rest of that story. Everybody got squished and died from it.
But I would like just a side note. I know this is pretty Monday morning quarterbacking on the author of Jack and the Beanstalk. When the mysterious stranger said, trade me your cow for these magic beans, wouldn't anybody, no matter what level of curiosity they have, anybody would say, in what way are they magic?
Yeah, what kind of spell contain?
Like, it's not like magic bean is like a category of bean. They're like, oh, these are some of those magic beans I've heard. Like, because if the mysterious stranger is like, oh, it'll grow a giant beanstalk that you'll have to climb and then hide from a man-eating giant. How did I get them, you ask? Don't worry about that. Give me your cow.
Give me that cow right now. Anyway,
it's not a good
story. If I was in the cubicle across from this person and they came over like, hey, couple beanzos did roll under and I looked down there, I would be like, oh, it's fine. It's just a couple beans. If it was 50 beans,
yeah,
and I looked under my desk and there was a small pile of beans under there, I'd be like,
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, you should get those. You need to clean those up. This is where I
think about that. I think about this a lot, right?
You do?
Well, no, it's just this idea of like one is nothing.
Right.
And a million is a huge thing.
Yes.
So there's some number, there's a fixed number.
Yeah.
Right? Like if one bean is on the floor, you probably wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
If 100 beans are in a small pyramid arranged perfectly,
yeah,
like sitting in your cubicle, that's a huge deal. That's a massive deal. So there's some number in between one and 100 beans where it becomes a topic,
yeah,
where it becomes something that needs dealt with.
I think I've got it. I think I know the number.
Oh, really?
I
know the number.
I absolutely know the number. I think it's 5 beans.
Okay.
Shush. If I look under my desk
that's
and
your
there's
thesis.
If there's one bean under my desk, oh, that's fun. 2 beans. Oh, there's a couple beans down here. 3 beans? That's a few beans. 4 beans is like, should I do something about this? Nah, it's just 4 beans. 5 beans is insane. That's way too many beans to have under your desk.
I don't think it's a binary, right? Because I actually think a singular bean in the wild, if I saw just a black bean under my desk, the fuck did one bean get
like
there?
Okay. So there's like a feature, not a bug, a feature of the human experience, mm-hmm, where it's like, if something's small and you maybe don't necessarily want to think about it that much, you could filter out a bean.
Yeah. Yes.
Like you could be like, I don't know. My awareness is not going to engage with that one bean. I can't deal with that.
Oh man, it must be nice not having ADHD, but go on.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
I see that bean, it's my whole day. What the fuck is that bean doing here? I'm on the hunt.
So that's a bean question. That's one of our many bean questions we do. We like to open things up with a bean segment.
Yeah. And now there's another segment here that I would say is much beloved and everyone loves it when I do it. And I'll pull you aside, folks. This next is going to be a little bit loud, but riddle me piss, boys.
Oh.
And now let me pull you aside real quick to say that we don't like this.
Well, there are some folks out there that do.
Yeah, that's important context, but
this
we don't like it.
I'll give you guys, new listeners, a little explanation. So there are people who will submit riddles to the internet, and every time they put that riddle up, they think, this is an absolute slam dunk. But actually, as you will see from this riddle, this is not the case. So this was
submitted by... You probably don't need to explain that. I think people are going to get that the riddles aren't very good.
This is submitted by Kayla. Thank you, Kayla. If all wibbles are criggles, all borkins are crumblins...
I already don't want it.
If all wibbles are criggles, all borkins are crumblins, excuse me, no hoggles are borkins, and all criggles are borkins, is it true that all borkins are criggles?
This sucks.
It sucks, Travis.
Do you want to hear it again?
No, I just want to hear the answer.
If all wibbles are criggles, all borkins are crumblins, no hoggles are borkins, and all criggles are borkins. Is it true that all borkins are criggles?
I can't. It's funny. I tried to make my brain engage with it at the time, and it
slides right off, doesn't it?
It just slides. It just bounced out. It couldn't do it.
So what was it? Was it? No? Is Juice? You say yes. I'll say no.
So okay. That's, yes.
No.
Griffin's right. The answer. What they've actually written here is nope. So, there you go. Borkins aren't criggles.
Borkins aren't criggles.
Yes, what I'd say is Borkins aren't criggles.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Jesus.
We used to do Yahoo Answers on this show, but then that website got suffocated, killed.
Yeah.
Got shut down and deleted off the internet. So, this is a nascent segment, I would say. Fresh. And it's very exciting where we approach the wizard of the cloud. And we look at questions on WikiHow instead. And we learn things instead of... When Yahoo Answers, it was just, mystery atop of mystery. WikiHow is like a teacher. It's like a teacher that comes to teach you things. And today's WikiHow was sent by
Kind of like Nanny McPhee when you think about it.
It's basically Nanny McPhee.
What? Yeah, it's like Nanny McPhee. It teaches you lessons that maybe you don't even realize you're learning.
It's like Dr. Parnassus.
Just like Dr. Parnassus. Jessica and Mr. Magorium, which I haven't seen.
A lot of them.
Okay.
This is a subject that's near and dear to, I think, all our hearts, and it's how to mosh in a mosh pit.
Thank you.
I've always been curious about the level of violence that you are supposed to bring to that sort of encounter.
Yeah, and I've always been worried I'll get in there and fling myself at like a 10, and then they'll be like, whoa, dude.
Whoa, dude, fucking stop.
We're on like a 3.
Fucking Slipknot on stage is like, stop the rock music. Look at that guy did a big hit. Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, this is a shared experience.
Yeah.
Mosh so, like that at home.
The first few things are preparatory. Preparatory.
What? Preparatory?
Proprietary.
Proprietary.
Proprietary. Griffin invented them just for this.
Step one.
These are patented.
Wear clothes you don't care about getting ruined. Wear old, worn clothes or a cheap outfit you don't feel attached to. Clothing can get easily ripped or stained in a mosh pit.
Spelled how?
What if I wear my stained t-shirt?
There you go.
Yeah, that's it's a risk that you can. What's stained?
It's a bummer. It must be a bummer to go to a stained show from the band Stained.
Yeah.
And then later you go to Wiener Schnitzel.
Right.
And you're having yourself a nice hot dog.
Yeah.
And then you layer it up with all your favorite toppings.
Your moustache, right? your catsups.
Everyone be quiet.
Okay.
And then your first bite. I got this. And your first bite, ketchup and mustard squirts out onto your shirt. And you look down at your new stained t-shirt that you bought at the concert earlier. And you think, I can never express this to other people.
Yeah.
I'll never be able to express this situation.
Hey, what happened to that new show shirt you bought?
Hasn't evolved enough. Oh, it's stained. Oh, I know.
Yeah. I was with you. No.
It also said that the very next step is actually don't bring big bottles of mustard into the mosh pit.
That's fair.
That's rude.
Hey, as someone who grew up like listening to music in the 90s and stuff, is Stained one of those bands that was like sounded like really hardcore but was actually secretly a Christian rock band?
Christian, I don't know.
I think Puddle of Mud is. I don't know.
That feels right.
All right, wear contact lenses instead of glasses. Obvs.
Yes. Yes.
Avoid wearing loose jewelry or accessories, partially I think because that you don't want to get choked, but also because of mosh bandits. And we know.
Yeah. Mosh highwaymen.
And I don't want to point fingers, but I do remember one time Justin went to a rock concert and came back with a beeper that wasn't his. You want to talk about that?
Oh my God, what?
Do you not remember that?
Remember this? No, tell me more.
You went to a concert and you said you brought, maybe this was a lie you told your brother. Maybe you bought a beeper and you were embarrassed about it, but you said you found a beeper on the floor at a rock concert after a mosh pit and you brought it on home, which is fantastic.
I know that one time I traded in enough Pepsi points to get a Mountain Dew beep.
Yes, that wasn't it.
I did do that.
That wasn't it.
I think this is a different situation, though, it sounds like.
Okay, this seems like the kind of thing.
I remember this. Oh, my gosh.
Make sure your shoes are tied. Fantastic.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Wait for the mosh. This is joining the mosh pit. This is where the fucking rubber hits the road. Wait for the mosh pit to open up. Yeah.
Mm.
You'll know like, it's getting ready to start.
Will there be a signal or?
Well, Travis, you'll know it's getting ready to start when the performer announces it or other concert goers begin to make a clearing near the stage. Probably not the first one. Okay, everyone.
On it's three.
It's me, Jeremy Slipknot. And I've got the red flag here. Wave. Begin. Begin the shoving.
There is a flaw with the second one, though, which is if you're waiting for other people to start the moshing, then everybody's waiting? You could be a mosh pioneer.
Right. Yeah. Finish your drink. Don't bring a drink. Duh. Enter the mosh pit once you're ready. Yeah. Don't be surprised if people are pushing you and bumping you as you get to the edge of the circle. If you don't want to dive right into the mosh pit, stay at the edge of the pit for a little bit and observe until you feel ready to enter. What's the number of people standing on the perimeter of the mosh pit staring intently at the people moshing that makes the people moshing feel uncomfortable? Like, at what level do you, even though you're jumping and feeling the vibe of the music and hurting and pushing and shoving and hurting other people, are you like, I can't ignore the fact that there are just like a dozen people looking at me.
Well, I think much like the bean question, we can start with, if it's just two people moshing, that's a romantic or at least very intense emotional experience.
Two people moshing?
that's like a wedding's first dance there, right? You don't want to interrupt. When two people are moshing together, you don't want to interrupt what they've got going. Now, as soon as a third party enters, right, now the energy, I think, is spread out as such that you need a fourth person to balance out, or else inevitably two of the three are going to start moshing together while the third is excluded.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You need to share the load with four. Right. At which point, then, it just is going to escalate from there.
That's right? Going to snowball for sure.
Yeah.
Start moshing. Jump up and down in place. Make a lap around the pit. Have both your hands open and your arms up at about chest level. That's a cool look. That's probably not true. Gently push people or bump into them. It's okay to push people around. Everyone's in the pit expecting it. But remember, you're not there to hurt anyone. Avoid elbowing anyone in the chest. As for some people, that can be quite sensitive, if not painful. I would say most people.
Yeah, unless it's like fucking Colossus. Most people getting elbowed in the chest is going to feel that.
Not going to feel good. Keep with the pace of the music and those around you. Cool off with a breather during slow songs.
One of
Stain's slow songs. And be
one
prepared
of their ballads.
Be prepared for everyone to start moshing harder once the music picks up again. Okay, cool. This is. I know you're thinking, I'm definitely going to hurt somebody. Like, somebody's going to get hurt here. Not if you follow mosh pit etiquette the next segment. One, stop and help anyone up should they fall.
Yes. That's true in life as it is in mosh.
Yeah, if you see anyone fall down and you're close to them, it's a good thing to do in general, regardless of whether or not a bunch of sweaty butt rock fans
I would say it does become
down nearby.
It does become especially important when that is happening.
Yeah. Pick up dropped items and hold them above your head.
Is this anyone's beeper? Nope. Bye. I don't know how to transfer service on a beeper, so I guess I'll be answering Doug's pages.
That was the biggest mystery to me. If you see anyone's shoe or cell phone on the ground, stop and pick it up. The image that WikiHow's provided, which if you've never been to the website, is always good, is somebody very happily holding a shoe above their head. And I like to think, like, I get into the music, right? You all know me. I like to ride those vibes. But if my shoe comes off, that's priority number one.
At the very least, it's going to create a physical imbalance in your body. Yes. You're going to notice.
Yes. Don't throw things in the mosh pit.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's good.
Or the
sand
pit.
Don't try to mosh with people who aren't in the pit. Get in here.
Yeah. Don't try to start an ancillary mosh pit.
That's a weird, that is a weird sort of state of mind for the person who's like, I'm the edge of the mosh pit.
Mm-hmm.
This mosh, no mosher.
Mm-hmm. I hate this mosh pit.
I hate this mosh pit. I'm standing guard of you. I won't let you pass.
See, I thought that this was saying, don't try to start a secondary mosh pit at a different location in the audience. Like, you're like, you know what? I don't like that mosh pit anymore. They observe rules I don't like. I lost my shoe in there. No one held it above their head. Hey, you're a beefy person. Come, mosh
you're
with
on
me.
My team. What?
we're a rival mosh.
I just really want to watch the show.
Begin jumping. We're a team now. Squid Game, hurt them.
Sick of
skank
them.
Ironically. Everyone
begin.
Skank ironically.
Don't bother the venue staff in the pit.
Yes.
Oh, man. You're shoving too hard. Okay. I'll stop.
That's what they're there for. They're there to be, you know, in charge. They're the parent of the mosh pit. You need to. Yeah. They're not doing it because they're mad at you. They're doing it because they care about you.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's the last sort of tip here. If I'm like in it, if I'm skanking it to Hoobastank, and really riding the vibe and doing a lot of pushing, and someone tells me, "Hey, you need to stop," I don't know that sort of like, you know, primitive, just in my soul instinct to mosh is going to be able to be contained at that point.
Oh, that's so interesting, Griffin, because if I was moshing at a concert and someone told me, you need to stop, I would assume it was my inner monologue saying, like, this is done.
This
now.
Is not your thing, Travis.
Hey, Travis, I think you and I can both agree you're forcing this.
That's the venue staff should not be there to police the intensity of people's moshing. They should be there for folks like me, who they see me like very nervously start walking in, and they just grab me by the scruff of my neck like, no, friend, No, friend, this is not for you.
We actually have seating over here, secret seating that we didn't tell anyone about, but it looks like your human body might need it.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you go buy a t-shirt, huh? A nice t-shirt, and then maybe head on home.
This is a funny joke that somebody asking the questions, the community Q&A, what do I do if somebody starts doing the Macarena whilst in the pit? Goobity-goo. The community answered, nobody would do the Macarena in the mosh pit. Only moshing is done in a mosh pit.
What if the person does what I used to do at middle school dances, which is they're too awkward to dance, so they just kind of sing along to the song in the middle of the dance floor?
Yeah. What if someone tries to make a big holding hand circle in the mosh pit?
Yeah. What if they try to do that, and now we're going to highlight individual moshers. We've created a mosh circle. Now you get in there and let us watch you mosh by yourself.
Mosh train. Yes. I'm into that. Anyway, now we all know how to do this, so let's all go to a rock concert together.
Man, that would be fun.
That would be fucking fun, like dude.
I'd love to. Man.
What's stopping us?
Well,
a lot of stuff.
Where to begin?
What do you mean?
Where to begin?
Our bodies.
This is actually good to talk about. We stop in the middle, like just when you're really starting to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I know what you're thinking. This is an advice show. They've done very little advice. Well, we're hanging there. There's a lot more.
Well,
coming just around the bend. We take a break to do advertisements. And what is great is if you can like frequent the businesses that we talk about.
And we make it funny. We're not like some of those other advertisers.
Yeah, don't skip them. It's not a robot or something. It's really the guys that you love already.
And we're kind of like the Geico cavemen of podcast commercials. We're like, okay, fuck, that's funny.
Okay. Cool. It's funny. Yeah. Cool. So, I begin this by, I say, let's all go to the money then.
Stamps. So, for those of you at home, stamps are a thing that you have to like.
They know about stamps.
They do know
it. How do you know that?
Well, we have to assume a base level of confidence.
Okay, fair. So, if you've got a small business and you know there's nothing more valuable than your time, so stop wasting on trips to the post office and start wasting it on listening to our podcast. Stamps.com makes it easy to mail and ship right from your computer. Stamps.com brings the service of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer, and the band Postal Service right to your computer. They will.
They will do it.
Now that I have committed them to it, they're working on a media player as we speak. So whether
they are trying to Tron Ben Gibbard today.
That's our Stamps.com guarantee to you.
We are going to blast Ben Gibbard with a Tron gun.
So, guys, stop it.
If you've ever wanted your computer to describe your girlfriend dying, now the chance is here. It will happen.
Do you have an old mattress?
The world is 2021. This disc on your back? Yes, it's vinyl. You've guessed it.
Whether you're an office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and standard printer, no special supplies or equipment, and you'll get exclusive discounts on postage and shipping from USPS and UPS. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk. And with my promo code, my brother, all one word, you get my promo code. I called stamps.com and I said, can I please have a promo code? And they said, yes, Travis, but don't let your brothers use it.
We should make an advertisement that's cool, generate us three promo codes so we can see who's the
sandwich. We can't conjure that up.
My brother, all one word, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Now, I know you're wondering, sometimes that can be confusing. The digital scale means it has like a digital readout, not that it's like a computerized like 3D scale. I just want to make sure that's clear. It's not made of lasers or something. So,
right, I think, yeah.
Okay, you don't know that. It confuses me. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in my brother, all one word. That's stamps.com, promo code my brother. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Unless you work there.
Unless you, yeah.
Oh, can you imagine if you worked at the post office and the post office found out you had a stamps.com account? Oh, boy. Yeah, I think it would go a little something like this. Hey, Derek, you got a stamps.com account? Yeah. Ah, cool. Can you sort those packages, please?
He actually did the skit.
Yeah.
That's a good skit.
I'm committed.
Let me talk about this next one.
Okay.
It's ZipRecruiter.
Oh, okay.
You know, I like to hand select things in my life.
Like what? Like
every day when I go into my, you know, toothpaste closet, yeah, and I pick the paste, right, of the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what am I feeling like? Baking soda, non-baking soda, peroxide, whatever.
You like the ones with the stripes?
I need the whitening. I like the ones with the stripes sometimes if I'm feeling a little bit saucy. Mm-hmm. But that's me. You know what I mean? I like to choose. It says in the ad copy, it says I can choose my own. So I guess I did.
Yeah, sure.
So don't let me off the leash again. ZipRecruiter, that's what you get. You can do the same thing I do for toothpaste. You can do it for hiring, though.
Oh? So if I wanted to, like, hire a toothpaste selector?
You wouldn't think that it's a big draw, right? I could choose the people that, like, get the job. No. That's not what ZipRecruiter means. You can invite people to apply for the job. It lets you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter will send you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for the job. You can't beat it. It's so hard finding the best people for the job, and ZipRecruiter makes it easy. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/MYBROTHER to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother.
I'm Lisa Hanawalt.
And I'm Emily Heller.
9 years ago, we started a podcast to try and learn something new every episode.
Things have gone a little off the rails since then. Tune in to hear about
low-stakes neighborhood drama,
gardening,
the sordid, nasty underbelly of the horse girl lifestyle,
hot sauce,
addiction to TV, and sweaty takes on celebrity culture,
and the weirdest, grossest stuff you can find on Wikipedia.org.
We'll read all of it, no matter how gross. There's something for everyone on our podcast, Baby Geniuses,
hosted by us, two horny adult idiots.
Hang out with us as we try and fail to retain any knowledge at all.
Every other week on Maximum Fun. Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hey, Griff, do you have another question? Do you want to start a bit?
Oh, no.
And this is a thing Justin likes to do where he makes me start things and then he really puts me in the toilet. Yeah, Juice, here comes a segment that I've prepared and worked really hard on.
Okay, now what you've heard there is the opening strains to the intro music to A Bit Within A Bit. This is called The Munch Squad, where I talk about, well, you'll see. There's a call and response section of this. I want a munch!
Why?
I want to munch.
Toronto!
Now, wait. Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast where I profile the latest and greatest in brand eating. That means like fast food or brand eating, I think, really covers.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you eat a brand.
You guys ever heard of Culver's?
Oh, yeah, sure. We got Culver's here.
You got Culver's there?
Oh, yeah, I like Culver's.
I got big news for you, bud. Oh. The Curterburger.
What?
Everyone say it once.
No, I don't know what you said.
I can't.
Curterburger.
Curterburger?
Sorry, just say Curterburger.
Curterburger.
It's Rudy Ignacy. Curterburger.
Curterburger.
Curterburger. That was a very funny joke that Culver's did, which is one of the most irritating things that anybody does, where it makes up a fake item to get social media to talk about it. They did it with the Curterburger, and then that is it's a burger.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a Culver Butter Burger.
Now, that sounds
it's a
different.
Deluxe Culver Butter Burger, the top with golden fried cheese or curds.
Uh-huh.
It's a cheese curd burger or a Curterburger.
Oh, I see.
So they did this as a joke.
Ah.
It's a Butter Burger with curd on top.
Okay.
The Curterburger.
Okay.
But, we get it.
But for once, someone did the right thing.
Sued
looked
them.
At the social media response, as we know, I'm sure, fucking uproarious to this April Fool's gag.
Yeah.
And the people were so incensed that the idea of Curterburger had been created
but the physical manifestation of Kurtaburger was denied to them.
Right.
That they realized, Culver's realized, it was their moral obligation to bring the menu item to life for one day only on National Cheese Curd Day, which is, as we all know, say it together,
October 15th.
Sorry, there's a lag. October 15th.
They're launching the Kurtaburger. We got a delicious crown of golden fried cheese.
Damn.
Makes this burger one of a kind. The cheese crown, which is
a good
one
thing.
Of the names you could choose. They chose that one.
Yeah. I believe cheese crown. That was what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had to wear on the cross.
Travis.
I think you mean cheesy crust.
Cheesy crust. I'm sorry.
Cheesy crust. We're incredibly proud of our... This is an answer. This is if you hear me talking in the voice of a creative type, this is Quinn Adkins, Culver's Director of Menu Development. Quinn Adkins. The delicious crown of golden fried cheese is what makes this burger one of a kind. The cheese crown is made up of a blend of yellow and white cheddar cheese curds, all surrounded by crispy seasoned breadcrumbs. We're incredibly proud of our Wisconsin cheese curds, which is why they've slapped them into a butter burger, yep. And our relationship with Wisconsin dairy. So the Kurtaburger is just another way to showcase our trademark quality and Wisconsin roots. Beyond the burger itself, the way the Kurtaburger came into existence is a story worth telling. It all began on April Fool's Day. With a prank we posted on social media. But when guests made it clear they wanted it to be a real menu item, which was such a surprise,
is it?
I think, to them. They in no way were backdoor announcing a new menu item to see the
response. For sure not. Who would do that?
It completely caught them by surprise.
Justin, can I ask you a question? Legitimately, I'm trying to find a picture of this thing. What's the joke? What was the joke?
It's so funny that they would put cheese. I know. This is what... Everyone's doing things that are exponentially nastier than this. The whole world is nastier than this. It's almost sort of quaint.
Yeah.
It's elegant. Like that they are coming out with the Kurtaburger and expecting us to be like, you did what?
You wild. You what?
I gotta give, I'm always dunking on people who answer the questions for QSR, which is sort of my hookup for this information. But on this one, I do have to call QSR itself out on the question they've decided to ask here, which, to be fair, coming up with questions to ask about the Kurtaburger can't be easy. The QSR asks, why does it work from a flavor perspective?
What do you think, motherfucker?
It's fried cheese on a burger.
It's a fried cheese on a burger, dipshit.
It's not like a complex fried cheese on a burger. It's cheese and meat, but fried.
From a flavor perspective, the Kurtaburger is, which, by the way, it fails in almost every other respect. Like, it is not pleasant to look upon.
Or so
let's
say.
Talk about it just from a flavor perspective. The Kurtaburger is an evolution of our classic Burger, but adds an additional savory component with our signature blend of herbs and spices, a textural contrast with the fried crown, and a tremendous visual dynamic. So from a flavor perspective, it adds a tremendous visual dynamic. I know what you're wondering, guys, because it's the same question I had. What was the R&D process like? How many attempts did it take to get it right, fried cheese on a hamburger? This, says Quinn, was a personal project of love.
Was it?
It developed in 3 months, starting in late May after the menu team saw all the attention the April Fool's message received. So just to be clear, it took you 2 months to read your mentions? I mean, I get it. There's probably not a lot of like Culver discussion on there, but it seems like a long time to realize like, hey, people really want this burger. The extraordinary development speed was made possible by the talent and dedication of our team, along with the strength of our relationships with our manufacturing and supplier network. Without our strategic suppliers.
You want more cheese? Okay.
All right. Sure.
The logistics of that in this economy? Really?
Okay.
How much should it cost? $100? That's too much. $5?
Sounds good.
Guests have a high... For this item in particular, we wanted to wow our guests. So we designed a burger that went above and beyond. And this is where Quinn, like, people are always using team language. I've never seen anyone do this in one of these press releases. Quinn then says, when executing my vision for the Kurtaburger, I created a list of must-haves, including functionality of design that reflected what we deliver with our current cheese curds, so both the yellow and white curds were evident. optimizing the eating experience of the burger so the cheese crown not only is visually appealing, but also holds together after taking a bite. 3, perfecting the size and weight of the crown so it can be consistently prepared to the highest quality in restaurant.
And a high ceiling in the garage so that I can, oh no, wait, sorry. That's for my must-haves for the new house I'm going to buy after
for my forever
after
home.
The curtain burger comes out. Sorry.
But here's the wild thing. All this work, all of it, for the curtain burger, which is available for one day. Can you imagine? Mm. This is like a corpse flower.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, all this work.
It's like a corpse bride.
Culminating in one day of who cares if it's consistent? It's one day. Buy it or don't. You know what I mean?
This is
that's a dedication to quality.
I'll tell you what, Justin, you've really ruined me on this. After talking about the absolute R&D mad lad that worked at Wendy's that like worked on a new fry recipe for 2.5 years, it's hard for me now to take anybody's R&D seriously when they're like, 3 months we put into this. I'm like, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
You're a child. Talk to me when you spent 2.5 years figuring out how to make French fries.
All I think about.
I want this R&D to submerge you into a pool of madness.
Yes, from which you might never return. I want this to be your Mr. Holland's opus.
It tastes better to me when you don't return from the madness pool.
Yes.
Speaking of Wendy's fries, if I could just pivot briefly.
Please do.
This week, Carl Laredo, the CMO at Wendy's, posted a picture of him and his family enjoying some new Wendy's fries. And the text of this photo is, "The whole family loves Wendy's new hot and crispy fries." Really, Carl?
Except for what a Doug, shock. Not pictured.
My shithead son, Doug, hates my fries.
He's out.
The company that puts food on your table put food on your table and you enjoyed it?
I'll tell you what, though, those fries are fucking good. And they survived the drive home in a very...
Listen, I noticed too, Trav. I didn't even realize we were getting them. And then Sydney and I both ate some fries and we're like, damn,
yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up, these fries? They're good. Okay, Carl, you're right.
Carl.
I don't think you and your family are lying, Carl. They're good fries. I would never say that. Not about Doris. Not about...
I'd say it about...
Rebethany.
I'd say it about Doug. Doug's a piece of shit.
I don't know Carl's children's names, but I'm just going to guess it's Rebethany
and Doug.
Doug Jr.
Yeah.
This is Carl Laredo's son, Doug Jr. He's a real twisted mind.
He's the junior of a different Doug. Just a Doug that Carl knows.
It's named after my barber.
He reminds me of my road dog, Doug.
He's a great barber. I don't go there anymore, but...
My name's Carl Laredo. This is my son, Dave Thomas Jr.
We don't cut corners here in my family. Does Wendy still make square patties? They don't, do they?
Trav, can I charge you with getting a Curter Burger? If you've got Culver's around you, will you get a Curter Burger
and
gram
yeah.
it? Just gram
yeah,
it.
Yeah, put it on the gram.
Yeah, how incensed would you be if you went into a non-participating Culver's
on this one
on October
day,
15th yeah. and know it's slipping? Like, they're like, I don't know, let me look in the back. And you're like, I could be eating it now. This is the one chance
I
have.
Could I get 30 of them and 29 of them are frozen? Is that possible?
All the wasted time. All the Curter Burgers. Okay, listen.
If you only another had question. Time. Sorry, go ahead.
Here's a question. Here's another question. We're going to help two people this
week. Yeah.
I live in a duplex, and I've only interacted with my neighbor once back when we moved in. The other day, I could hear him singing a song from Les Miserables through the wall. Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I also love to sing show tunes. How do I approach him about our shared interests without letting him know I could hear his private singing moments? That's from Perplexed in a duplex.
Why not let him know?
This is very strange. This is very strange to me.
Why?
It's very strange.
Why is that?
Because this is a new bit that I've invented for the show where I say, I don't know, and I let my brothers help me. Because I have one version of this, a different version of this exact same problem. Yesterday, it's been a few days now. I was driving up to my home and I passed a neighbor. One is an older gentleman who I've since learned is a widower living there on his own. And I passed him. And his cars are always in the driveway, right? I passed him. I looked in his garage, and he had this fucking sick woodworking shop.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Sick. like real, real choice stuff, right? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, damn, that guy's deep in the paint on woodworking. And then I start thinking, like, it would be cool to have someone who lives like a couple houses away be like,
work wood with
a fellow woodworker. Sure. Like, if I get some scraps, I'll kick him his way. He comes in, he's like, Justin, I need a number 8 3-inch deck screw. I can help him out. You know what I mean? But I can't for the life of me think of a way. I don't know him at all. So I can't for the life of me think of a way to elegantly be like, and I've expressed this concern to my wife. She can't think of anything. She's the smartest person I know. Can't think of anything. I don't know how to elegantly knock on the door and be like, listen, I looked in your garage.
What?
And it was bright in there, and I looked in there, and I saw that you love wood, and I love wood too. And I just want you to know I'm here for you. And we could be like, not friends in the traditional sense, but you know,
woodworking. We could share a connection. We could be wood buddies.
So what do you guys think?
Your problem is, Justin, you're hung up on the elegant part. There isn't.
Hold on, I'm getting some water. You can just keep talking.
Can you hear me? Wait.
Why would he ask for your advice?
He asked me for advice, and then he was like, I'm fucking leaving.
Hey, I'm back.
The problem is, Justin, you're caught up on the elegant. There isn't an elegant.
Well, I don't want it to be weird.
But here's the thing, man. We get asked all the time, how do I make friends as an adult? And that is because we are worried about that weird moment. You know who doesn't fucking worry about that? 5-year-olds. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to have to roll up and say, hey, I noticed that you have woodworking stuff. I also am interested in woodworking.
Okay, imagine it. Like, really start to break it down to its base components, though. Is he in the shop when I do this?
I don't know. Mm. But
exactly.
Yeah, like, Justin.
I mean, do I knock on his front door in the middle of dinner? Travis,
no. Why did I say that? No, I didn't say that. I said,
Travis, why am I interrupting
you? He was praying, Travis.
No, don't interrupt his dinner. Dude, this is,
he got out of the bath for
4
this?
O'clock, Justin. 4 p.m. is a save
for the husky neighbor boy that's always carrying terrible wood scraps out to his trash. Yeah.
And Justin saw everything, Travis. How can their relationship possibly recover from this?
So well, great idea, great the idea, door Travis. In the nude.
Great idea, Travis. Pervert.
Okay. Well, I was trying to. Okay, I was trying to actually help our brother Justin, and then you guys call me.
No, help me. I'm telling you, but I'm serious. Do I knock on his door? Is there someone at the door?
Yeah, you knock.
And then imagine it happen. Whatever you tell, I'm going to move the mic. Whatever you tell me, imagine it happening to you, Travis.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard your podcast. I'm a stranger.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
There is risk involved, Justin. Don't get me wrong. What? There is risk involved, but the reward of having your own wood buddy is the reward. Like, you think you're just going to get that for free? You're waiting for the universe to give you, like, an excuse to talk to this wood friend?
Now, let me ask you this. Here's some alternate plans if I don't have the bravery. For what you said, because he's in dinner. Do I send a note?
No.
Letter? I like wood. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
I don't trust him.
What's up with that?
He's not going to.
And if so, would I mail it? Because that's weird, right?
Now, if you carve a plaque that says that, and you deliver a hand-carved wooden.
You're saying that's the introduction, just to be like, here is where my skills are at.
Right.
I thought you were saying leave it at his doorstep, like, this is from your secret wood.
Oh, no, I did mean that.
Okay, good.
But it's a carved wooden plaque, so he's going to see, like, this is weird, but there's something here. I see, also, I know that this is Justin, because he's still walking away. I could see him, right? He rang the doorbell, and I answered it, and I see him walking away. And at a leisurely pace, frankly.
And he's watching me very closely to check my reactions to what
Hey, Justin, come on. Yeah. This is good. I have some notes.
I think people who are experienced in a craft or hobby are always looking for an opportunity to flex that on other people.
Yes.
So you need to supplicate yourself to him. And maybe, like, you go up with a shitty birdhouse that is glued to the side of your head, and you'd be like, hi, I'm your neighbor. I couldn't help but notice that you have some wood stuff, and I am also into it, but I did this, and do you have any kind of solvent or something that won't be bad for my skin? Because I have really goofed up over here. That person will be so excited for the opportunity to
Yeah, that's probably true.
But then they're gonna know the next time you make a nice stool. They're gonna be, you fucking rope-a-doped me.
And then you say, no, I couldn't have done it without your tutelage.
Yeah, when you
inspired me.
When you pried that birdhouse off my face,
it must have released something in my brain.
Right.
By which I mean a pneumatic staple that I think I accidentally
It's somewhere in there. From what I know about rotary saws, is they like to just fly on off the handle and just go zip-zapping wherever they want to go. So maybe you could embed one of those in the side of his house and then knock on his door and just be like, hey, this happened. And as a fellow woodsman, I'm sure you know all about these stinkers.
What if I think there's a non-zero chance that he would take my tools away.
Oh.
Wait, you're saying that if you introduced yourself as a fellow woodworker, he'd be like, no, not you.
No, you're not.
You're not grown up enough for this.
He would confiscate them from you, a 40-year-old parent of two.
He might confiscate my saws, all my beautiful saws. And what if, maybe he just takes the screws until I've learned my lesson. Yeah.
But then, isn't that what we all want, Justin? You're looking for a wood father figure.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, like, just this past week, I made a footstool for my daughter, and I couldn't get it balanced. Yeah. Like, you know how you build something, it's always a crapshoot when you make something that's supposed to stand on the ground on multiple legs. Right. And I said it was, like, wobbly, so I cut it down, and then it was still wobbly, but the wrong way, and I kept cutting it until it eventually was offering a negligible height differential from the ground. And then I got so frustrated that I threw it on the ground and smashed it with a big hammer. Yeah. And I think that maybe he should take my tools away. I think someone should be parenting.
Maybe you need to approach him in that way then and be like, can I apprentice with you? And
can I trust you to stop?
Because that's what I did, man. You know, I found myself a blacksmith teacher. I apprenticed with him. It makes him really uncomfortable when I refer to myself as his apprentice, but here we are, you know?
Makes me uncomfortable, and I'm not even part of the equation.
I will often say, like, am I a journeyman yet? And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about, Travis? And I'm like, thank you. That's wise.
Juice, next time you fuck up a project like that, hold on to it. Or at least hold on to the scraps of when you smash it because of your insatiable rage. And then look at, like, the 10-day forecast, see when the next big rainstorm's coming, and then show up at his door soaked to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even if you want to go this route, your t-shirt sticking to your body a little bit, and you show up
not
with
in a
scraps.
Sexual way, but in a sensual way for sure.
Well, or just a, you know, however kind of way you want to frame it, but with the scraps in your hands, and then you can make yourself cry. And just be like, I don't know. And then have him just, come on in.
And
I think he's going to be into it.
I'm going to give you this one for free, Justin. Would you help me with this?
That's funny. And he's going to know that you're a real deal guy when you come at him with genuine good wood humor like that.
Now, what's going to be confusing is when he responds, I think not. And you're not going to be sure if that's a no or if that's another pun.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to parse. I understand that, but that's the test.
What if I start misinterpreting, like, I saw you walking towards my house, so I called the cops.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, I get it. Yeah, funny. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I heard you hammering on my door screaming, please let me in.
I wish you'd cut it out. Yeah, I did. Cut. It's funny. Like wood, right?
Yeah,
I get it. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If this is your first time, we hope you've enjoyed yourself. We release a new one of these almost every Monday. We used to miss a lot, but we barely ever do that anymore.
Sometimes it's just a little late because of life.
Yeah, or a little bad.
Yeah.
You never know. Come hell or high water, though, there'll be something here for you.
Statistically, there are about 300 good episodes in here somewhere. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah, run the numbers.
Oh, speaking of, if you are a new listener, just start on like 150 or 200 and work forward from there.
Yeah. Or start at the newest one, but not the last one. Skip
the last
episode
one was fantastic. I won't take this slander.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, listen to whatever ones
you want. And as you're working backwards, when you hit a point, you're like, well, this seems weird. Stop.
Stop. Oh, God.
Yeah. If the mics get bad, it's...
The content will follow. The thoughts will also be bad.
And you know what? This is also a good time if you are, if you've been a listener of My Brother and Me for a while, why not check out other Max Fun shows? During this period, they're going to be doing other kind of intro shows like this to welcome in a new audience. We've got some crossover stuff that we did that's going to be in a new feed. We did a crossover with Maximum Film, where we talked about good and bad advice that we learned for the...
Oh, it was fun as hell.
Trace and I did a Schmanner's crossover with Titan Fights, where we talked about like the etiquette of pro wrestling and like some famous rivalries and some locker room etiquette. It was an absolute blast. So check that out. You can find out more at MaximumFun.org/blockparty. It's going until October 22nd. And it's not just shows and stuff on the network. There's going to be volunteer events and limited edition posters and games. I'm doing a Jackbox game stream on this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time with Janet Varney and Carrie Poppy and James Arthur. And it's going to be an absolute blast. Justin, you and Sydney are doing a stream too, right?
Yeah, on the, I think it's Friday night after that, we're watching F9 finally and live streaming that.
So there you go. Fun. So make sure you check that out. More info at MaximumFun.org/blockparty. We've also got an Adventure Zone live and virtual show coming out November 5th. Tickets are on sale now. That's November 5th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Tickets are only $10. And if you're not able to make it on the 5th, video on demand will be available for 2 weeks after the show. We're doing another Hootenanny episode, which is our Lasers and Feelings RPG, where we play a space, like country band, traveling the stars, playing country music. You can get tickets for that at bit.ly/TazVirtual.
Our theme song is My Life is Better With You by Montaigne. It's a great track. And the music video is very fun. It's got us and Montaigne in it. Go listen to all of Montaigne's music if you've never made that dive. She's incredible, and her tunes really slap, man.
Yeah, they really slap.
Oh, as they say.
We also have new merch over at macroymerch.com, including our pin of the month, which is from Taz Just Us, Griffin's character Hell Raven, a.k.a. Del Craven. Sales of that pin of the month benefit the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Justice, which builds Latina and Latinx power to fight for the fundamental human right to reproductive health, dignity, and justice. There's other stuff there, too. Go check it out, macroymerch.com.
And... yeah, and
this is where we come to a bit of an awkward moment for new
not
listeners, because there's no way for you to know that we used to use the Yahoo Answer yep. service a lot for as our source of questions, but we don't do that as much anymore.
Because it died.
So now we're kind of lost on that front.
Except for all the ones that I stockpiled.
Okay.
Okay, and Griffin pretend.
All the ones I stockpiled before we got going. So this one was sent in by Jim.
From The Office?
Davis.
Oh,
from the Garfield.
Yes. And
from the Garfield office where they make Garfield. Yeah.
And it's asked by Rudy Giuliani, the scary Rudy Giuliani.
That's just scary. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's from Booty Giuliani, who says.
Oh, no, you're making me like that character now.
Oh, Booty, don't get me wrong. This. Booty Giuliani is fantastic. Booty Giuliani asks.
Yeah? What?
Yeah? What?
Just read it, Griffin.
Booty Giuliani asks, does anyone want to join me in filing a class action lawsuit? Against Dick's Last Resort, they made me feel very small.
That's why the one that kills me.
Oh, God bless. Oh, no.
That, you know, what's funny? That would be like the fifth most embarrassing thing he's done in his life. I mean, it wouldn't even top the charts.
Sure.
My name is Justin
McElroy.
I'm Travis
McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother
and me kiss her dad square on the lips. Is it better with you?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
A man goes to the doctor and says that he's depressed and that life seems cruel. The doctor says, "Ah, the treatment is simple. The great clown Pagliacci is in town tonight. Go and see him and you will surely feel better." The man bursts into tears and says, "But doctor, I am Pagliacci." "Ah, okay," says the doctor. "In which case, try listening to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast." The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast, and you can find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.